Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Christine Sakuda. She's the State Chief Information Officer, and we also have Thelma Elaine. She's the HACC, or Hawaii Annual Code Challenge Consultant, and we're going to be talking about the 10th. This has been going on for 10 years, the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Bert. Aloha.
Yeah, and you know, both of you have been involved with the Code Challenge from the start, the very start, 10 years ago. And I think we've probably had opportunities to talk about, you know, the Code Challenge throughout the time that, you know, we've been doing this show. And I do remember that, you know, back in, when was it? I guess, 2020? Was it 2015? We had people like David Ige come on, right? And talking about, Governor Ige, right? Talking about the HACC and how it was kind of created and the idea that we wanted to bring people together from a technology standpoint and a problem-solving standpoint and kind of showcase some opportunities for people to maybe prototype some things. But Chris, I want to give you a chance to, you know, maybe recollect what the whole purpose of the HACC was.
But yeah, thank you, Bert. And even before I joined state government, I was always a fan of the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge, as you know, and had the privilege of serving as a judge for a couple of years. But really, the HACC, as we love to call it, is really a unique opportunity to bring together the civic tech, you know, advocates and passionate members within our community, as well as state departments, to come together and really rapidly develop solutions for state government. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to get engagement and collaboration between the state government and as well as our community. And it's been going strong for 10 years. I can't believe the time has passed so quickly.
Oh, I know. I you know, when we start to harken back to the beginning and we start measuring things in decades, you start thinking, oh yeah, I guess we were involved 10 years ago, and 10 years has passed, yeah. And it seems like, you know, like a blink of an eye. Now, Thelma, you were involved pretty much from the very beginning, and I think your involvement kind of was initiated back when you were with the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation, right?
Yeah, we were one of the sponsors, and so in my role with working with them, I was sent to the meetings to be their representative on the meetings board.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was involved, you know, on that level. So
were you there at the first one, or was it the second one?
I was there at all 10 of them.
Okay, so I remember you there being there at the beginning, right? And
yeah.
I was kind of the architect for, you know, doing
the second year.
Doing the design of the Code Challenge. And
uh-huh.
I remember distinctly that one of the challenges that we faced was, how do we get, you know, 20 teams kind of organized in such a fashion that if we were to give them, I don't know, I forget the time, you know, like maybe 3 minutes apiece,
mm-hmm.
and we have to basically sequence them so that, you know, a team would come up and the next team would be ready, the next team comes up and the next team was ready, that they would have to all be kind of put into a queue. And now the first year, I don't think I tapped your expertise, but...
No, that in fact you did, because the person who was supposed to do it... failed on you. And you came up to me and said, Thelma, do you think you could organize the teams? And I said, sure, I'll give it a try. And apparently I did such a good job, you invited me back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You did. You did a great job, because, you know,
So that was, you know, and then you had me come back the next year. And that was the only involvement I had, was managing the queue. And then the third year, you and Beth asked me to come and help. Yeah. So, I did the queue again.
No, you were great at doing the queue because that was a major, not only was it a major task, but it helped to keep the flow going for the judges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chris, you're sitting there as a judge, right? So you're hearing them talk, you're, you know, giving the teams a chance to demo, you know, their particular prototype. But they only got like, you know, a couple, 3 minutes. And the idea is that if you got, you know, if you got 20 teams, that's like one whole hour of watching. I mean, if it went smoothly, you got a whole hour. So the key is how do you make sure that the flow is happening in a way that the judges aren't just, you know, kind of, you know, maybe losing track of, you know, who's coming up, and then the teams have to be ready to come up. And you know, I got to give you guys credit because, Thelma, I mean, not only was the queue working, but from a technology standpoint, we got, you know, we didn't have too many technology glitches when teams went up there and actually presented their demos.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
And we've got it down to science, too. That is definitely true. So,
Chris, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to, you know, commend Thelma, who's been a constant throughout the 10 years, you know, of the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. And we really, as a judge, it is amazing to see the orchestration of the challenges presented. You know, it's super organized, thanks to Thelma and her team. But what really is the most rewarding aspect about presentation day is that the teams just present so effectively. And while they have the time pressure, which is there, you know, there's nothing like a time pressure that really kind of breeds and creates innovation and encourages people to really prepare and deliver so effectively. And there are workshops, not only technical workshops, that help the teams, you know, learn about AI and learn about cloud computing and how to leverage AI tools, but also how to present and how to present in a time frame and how to manage a project. And it is impressive when on presentation day the teams present, and they've accomplished so much, and it really speaks to, you know, all the rapid development that is the bright spot of the code challenge.
Well, you know, and I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about some of the kind of not classes, but, you know, like workshops that teams were able to participate in, because the design of the code challenge was that it wasn't like just a weekend. It was a whole like 4 weeks that led up to the actual demo day. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Christine Sakuta and Thelma Lane about the 10th annual Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Christine Sakuta. She's the state's chief information officer, and Thelma Lane, the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge consultant, who's been involved pretty much for the entirety of the entire 10 years. And, of course, this is going to be the 10th Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. And, you know, right before the break, we were talking about how I think both of you were very much involved in the evolution of what kinds of workshops were being offered. Because, you know, in the beginning, I remember, you know, we had some sponsors, and some of the sponsors would provide some workshop on their technology. It could be, you know, could have been Microsoft or Salesforce or you know, some of the sponsors in that fashion. But then, Thelma, as you were saying, you know, when teams go up there and actually now have only a short period of time to present, they have to really hone their skill on presenting and be very kind of targeted in what it is that they want to highlight, because they want to show the features, they want to show the value, they want to actually demo something that works. And so I think you've put together some kind of like pre-demo day workshops that help teams really hone that skill.
Well, when we the first couple of years, we just had these things called interim workshops, and sometimes there would be a guest speaker from one of the sponsors. But we always had a how to pitch your solution workshop, and we did what we could with those. Over the years that I kind of took over, and with cooperation from ETS and the team, we started realizing that the hack was a workforce development tool. So we wanted to bring to them workshops that would introduce or at least get them start to be familiar with tools that would help them during the hack. Then we started realizing that we needed to have the workshops earlier so that they could learn the tools and then be able to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, this year we're going to have 7 pre-event workshops, and during the event we're going to have 3 interim workshops. And so one of those interim workshops will be how to pitch your solution again. But we, you know, we're very focused on, we had a pre-event security one. We're going to have another one about security and privacy. We're going to have a design thinking one, because at the first workshop, that's when people really want to know how to do what they need to do. We had a project manager workshop from HECO. We've had a boatload of AI workshops. Now, the thing I really want to say is, if you missed any of them, don't worry. We were really good at recording them all and getting decks and sometimes links to, because some of them were like hands-on. So all that stuff is at hack.hacc.hawaii.gov workshop.
And Chris, I mean, how much have you been involved with sort of the design of some of these workshops? I know you've got a very busy job. You've got, you know, a lot of big projects to handle. I'm just curious, you know, are there things that let's say from a workforce development standpoint, recognizing that the hack could be a tool to find out more about, you know, workforce, the capability of some of the participants. I'm interested to hear your comments about what you've seen as a result of people coming out of the hack. I've noticed that, you know, in the beginning, it was all about coding. And then as the years moved on, I mean, there were categories of, you know, low code, no code. And I'm thinking, wow, you don't even have to code now to be part of the code challenge. So, I mean, what is your sort of sense of your sort of assessment of the, you know, the people coming out, the skills that you see as a result of participating, you know, in the code challenge?
Yes, thanks, Bert. I mean, there is an art to the development of the challenges. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we reach out to all of the departments. And, you know, we're 10 years in now, so the benefit of that is, and the longevity of the code challenge, is that the department leadership is familiar with the code challenge. And so we try to work with them to help craft challenges that would really be conducive to the format that Selma had laid out in the workshops and presentation day. And as you know, AI is a hot topic now and has been for several years. And so we really try to craft challenges that the departments are interested in and cultivate the challenges with the departments. But all of them are really interested in leveraging AI to you know, improve their administrative processes, to deliver services as effectively as possible to the community, to help visualize and storytell, you know, the vast amounts of data that kind of moves through some of the state's major programs, so that the public knows, you know, the great work that's happening inside of government. And so it's a huge workforce development opportunity. We're very grateful to all of the sponsors of the workshop, and also to Selma for helping to curate the different workshops that kind of have a strong resonance with the our emerging civic tech leaders emerging civic tech leaders in the community, as well as the emerging kind of civic tech leaders in state government as well, because everyone's sort of using, you know, AI technology nowadays.
Mm-hmm,
and how can we use it better?
So, Thelma, I mean, I'm glad Chris kind of brought up the challenges. I know that you've already have a pretty good idea what those challenges are. Do you wanna share kind of like what the key challenges are going to be presented to the audience?
I don't want to give out what the key challenges are because we kind of keep that secret.
Oh, that's secret. Oh, okay.
So, but I will say that there are four of them.
Okay, four.
I believe maybe one is the exception, but they're all about utilizing AI or AI agent capabilities. So it's basically a theme. So the primary theme is how can AI help solve problems or give access to information in a way that these challenges need to solve their problems. So that the full disclosure will come on Monday, the 13th, after 5 p.m. Hawaii time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That'll be opened up so that people can go see the use cases. So stay tuned. I like to get everybody on board at the same time. So, but again, the primary goal would be using AI or AI agent capabilities to code solutions for the problems that these four challenges have provided.
Okay, so and Chris, I guess as a as a sponsor for this, I mean, you help to kind of co-design in terms of the kind of AI skills that people need to help address any of these challenges. I mean, can you give us an example of what they might need to know in order to go in and develop a prototype?
Well, I think that they definitely have to have an open mind.
Okay.
And be very receptive to, the tools, the various sort of AI tools that are emerging. I think there's so much fluidity that's happening within the AI space right now. And again, if you were to go to the hack.hawaii.gov website and kind of check out the workshops, sponsored by by Oracle, there are, AI coding tool workshops. There are, IBM is sponsoring a design human-centered innovation class. There are additional workshops around securing apps and protecting privacy. And so I think, as our civic tech community kind of comes into the space of the Hawaii On Your Code Challenge and learns about the technology available through the sponsors, through the workshops, to kind of get a sense of, how the challenges are shaping up. Well, and so, we all use AI now. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we're not using. We all use that. And so everyone is probably can be apply to be on a team, for example. Mm-hmm. And so, I think to me, it's not necessarily specific skills, especially nowadays with the advent of AI. It's really kind of learning what's current and what's relevant coming out of the major tech innovation companies and seeing how that can be applied to the challenges that are getting shaped up by, by the departments.
I know that the announcement for the challenges is coming up, and I think the teams. Well, obviously, teams could be forming. Teams might form after the kickoff, and I do want to ask Thelma a little bit about the sort of like the team formation as we move down this timeline. So let's hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Christine Sakuta and Thelma Alain about the 10th Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. If you're just joining us, we've got Christine Sakura. She's the Chief Information Officer for the State of Hawaii. And Thelma Elaine, she is the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge Consultant, has been involved with the Code Challenge for the better part of the 10 years that it's been in existence. And, of course, we're talking about the Code Challenge. And Thelma, you know, teams, okay, have sort of evolved over time. In the beginning, I remember that, you know, it was sort of directed toward civic technologists, you know, people that are already kind of in the workforce. They are coders. They are interested in perhaps applying some of their skill toward some of these challenges. And then over time, the teams started to become a little bit more a combination, right? They could be a combination of professionals, but they also were students that came from University of Hawaii or Hawaii Pacific University. How has it evolved, and what can you say about, you know, the 10th Hawaii Annual Code Challenge?
Well, we've tried different things. Where we've settled with is to have three prize categories. We have a high school, middle school category, college, teams, and professional.
Okay.
And if somebody chooses to be mixed, they then have to say they are one of those three. Then what happens is, you know, the high schools usually, their computer lab team groups come together and they form one or two teams at each high school. The colleges, there's some work classes that focus on use the hack as a training to help them create real live solutions so they can put it on their resume. And then we started wooing the professionals because we found both talking to the tech employers as well as the younger professionals is they didn't have some of the soft skills. And that being able to, like, present their solution on Desi and presentation days was, like, a great experience for them because that was one of the soft skills that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we ended up with the three categories, because we wanted to give high school and middle school kids a way to improve their resumes for their college applications, college kids, so that they have something on their resume for applying for that first job. And then the professionals to be able to go, okay, I'm now an AI expert, for example, and then get a new job around AI. So it's worked out really cool because I've actually been told, oh, I got an internship because of my hack program, or I got a job with Microsoft because of my hack involvement. And I've heard that countless number of times that people have actually been able to use their involvement with hack to sometimes get their dream jobs. So that's what we hope to keep having happen.
No, that's great. That's
again
great.
This year.
Yeah, no, and I've heard that because we've had teams come on and they've said as a result of doing the code challenge, they've actually got a job, you know, at one of the tech companies, and that was quite, you know, quite pleasing to hear. Now, Thelma, you just described a really, I guess, well thought out way of helping each of those categories kind of focus in on what it is that they could potentially achieve as a result of participation. Now, I'm curious, how are you getting that word out? Who's your army on the ground helping those particular categories understand what the objective is? Because I'm assuming that you're probably on the phone. I mean, I know you're on the continent, so you probably don't have a whole lot of time on the ground working with these particular category of community. So who do you have on the ground kind of working with the professionals or working with the college students or working with the high school, middle school?
We have we work with the computer sciences group from the DOE. They mail out our stuff periodically to get make sure that the high school, and then we have about a half a dozen high school teachers who have been at every hack for the last 10 years as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Building teams. So when we first started this program, there wasn't many high school. There was like two high school teams. By last year, we had like 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you realize that a high school team represents not just two people, but sometimes 10, you realize that that's, we went from like 10 kids doing the hack to 60 and 70 kids doing the hack. And we thought that was a real nice win because, again, it added something to their resume, made something stand out for when they were doing their, I actually had a kid, a student call me and say, can you provide me with proof? Because my college that I'm applying to, my first school wants to have proof that I actually did the hack. And I made up a little certificate and sent it for them.
And they're very competitive.
Like
they
the
knock it out of the park.
Setting.
Yeah.
So I was very happy to have done that. So.
And Chris, there's going to be prizes, right? There's going to be teams that win. Can you share a little bit about what the prize, offerings are?
Yeah, I can give a few statistics on that. So this year we have 11 sponsors, mm-hmm. raising over $26,000 in cash and $26,000 in in-kind contributions, and that helps to fuel all of the activities that are occurring that lead up to the presentation day and the prizes. And so this year we're giving away prizes worth about $18,000.
Wow.
And, you know, we're thrilled to do that and, you know, very, very deserving. And, I don't know if we're coming up on time, but also in reflecting that we've been doing the hack for 10 years, you know, we've had collectively 47 challenges, including this year. So it's amazing that the number of challenges that the state government has put out, as well with their community partners, and the amount of members from the community that really helped solve those challenges. And over that 10-year period, the hack program has given away, you know, $100,000 worth of prizes. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey to be a part of over the last decade.
Well, in the next, you know, like 30 seconds, can you describe what you might be thinking about for the next iteration of the Code Challenge? Year number 11?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we 10 years is such a hallmark year for us. So, you know, we're taking the time to assess how has the program gone. You know, are there opportunities, especially with the advent of AI, to do something different or to expand in certain ways? And so we're just affording ourselves at that time after the 10th year to decide, you know, how can we continue to provide, you know, an event like the Code Challenge in the current state that it's in, or maybe in a different one moving forward.
So what's
really excited about that.
What's the key date people need to pay attention to? What's the kickoff date?
Well, the kickoff date is, I'll let Selma continue with all of the date details.
Well, actually, I need to probably wind down. So I know it's the 18th. I think that's the kickoff date.
Correct.
Chris, where can people go to find out all the information they need to know about the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge?
Thanks, Bert. They can go to hack.hawaii.gov.
Very good. I'll put that up on our show notes for later on. Chris Sakuda is the State Chief Information Officer. Thelma Alain, she's been the consultant for the last 10 years on the Code Challenge. And, you know, they do both a really great job. And I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us, Bert.
Thank you very much, Bert. Take care.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll reprise a show we did on the Internet Governance Forum. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong, and you can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.